Welcome to episode 3. This is the Decoding Estrangement podcast series. My name is Gia. I am just another toxic mom, and this is a series all about understanding the concept, the key phrases and terms used by adult children who have made the choice to go no contact. Or if your adult child is not no contact and you are currently estranged from that adult child, my hope is that all of this will help on that journey as well. So today's episode, we are going to discuss what are the 3 things that adult children universally say they need from their family of origin or their toxic mom, whomever they are estranged from. What do they need from us in order to heal? Now, if you heard that right, you did not hear me say what do they need in order to consider reconciliation. And here's why you didn't hear that. Because one of the huge parts of when you take the steps to attempt to give them the 3 things they are asking for, it must be done without any expectation. All right, so the 3 things that our adult children say they need from their family of origin is they want us to, 1, apologize for our parenting. 2, take accountability for our parenting mistakes. And 3, do the work. So we are going to break those 3 items down. And I'm going to share with you in this episode, we are going to talk about the first item that's on their list, which is they need an apology from their parents in order for them to heal their childhood trauma. When I say parents, now we're moms here, but whomever they've gone no contact with. That is 1 on their list. All right, so the first thing I want to remind you of is that this podcast is to share the facts and educate you on what the no contact movement is encouraging and sharing with adult children to go no contact. This is not Gia's opinion of what you should do. Now, it is really hard for me to not throw my opinion in on this. But I just want you to know, as I speak to you about what they in the no contact movement, what their thoughts are on this apology, this is not what Gia thinks you should do. I'm just passing this on to you. And then once you, at the end of this series, then you can take all this knowledge and decide how that applies to your own story and what you feel, if anything, that you should implement in your own recovery journey. All right, so first I want to just go over a few things that are not about the apology. I just want to, when I prepare these episodes and these outlines, I go back and I look at my old journals, and I have, it's a little triggering for me to read where I was in my headspace back then, but the information that I kept all these years and that even now I can find, it's still current. When I go back over there, I do find some little tidbits, little pieces of gold that are not through the no contact movement, but just kind of observations that either I made or that another person made and that I read. So the first thing is, I think that the whole basis of this whole adult children choosing to cut parents off, if you look at it this way, I'm Gen X, and most of you are at least my age and maybe a little older, maybe younger. There was not an option on whether or not we did or did not respect our parents in my home, like in our home. Like that was just a given. Like that wasn't even I didn't know, like, could we choose not to? But I came to this earth, and when the parents that gave birth to me, I respected them from day one. If you look at it like this, that whole concept is completely flipped. The whole script has been flipped. And the generation of particularly millennials and Gen Z as well, but this is really the millennials kind of started this trend, which means we started this trend because we taught them. We are their parents, you know. So how this works for them is they don't come in this world respecting us as their parents. They feel that we as their parents must earn that respect. especially when they're adults. Like, as an adult child, they don't just automatically respect us. We have to earn their respect, and how that respect is earned is through our actions and behaviors, meaning as parents that we have to actively demonstrate qualities that warrant respect from our children. And that is like almost a mindset that's hard for me to grasp. Okay, but I always go back to this. They have that mindset because we as their parents decided, I say we, I should speak me, I shouldn't speak for all of us. I decided that it was a good idea to try to reason with a two-year-old. It was a good idea for me to ask her opinion of things and really kind of not tell her, but learn together about things. You know, for me in my house, my parents were not strict at all. Like, I think it might be just because I was number three and they were just tired. I don't know. I didn't have a lot of rules and stuff. I just did right because, number one, I couldn't stand the thought of my parents being disappointed in me. And number two, it just never crossed my mind that I could not do what they told me. But I, in my house, flipped the script on that because I included her in our decisions. Like, what do you think about this? Well, I now know perhaps that was not the best way of parenting. Regardless, that generation now believes that we have to earn their respect. And so to do that, I'm about to share some things with you that they encourage you to do. So, you know, the idea of respect, it seemed more as like as a reciprocal, like in newer generations. Like, respect is not just given. It's based on like hierarchy and did you earn it and positive interactions and mutual understanding. Well, I am going to maybe go back on that mutual understanding because it does seem to me that in order for them to respect us, then we don't necessarily get to disagree with anything they say. That's my opinion. That is not a fact. And so also just keep this in mind. You know, adult children typically initiate estrangement, but then the parents are often the ones who are expected and must take the first steps towards reconciliation. Like, the ball's in your court. All right. So when we go into how and what are we apologizing for? How do we apologize? Those are the two things we are about to break down. So I want you to think about this. When I say apology, my mind immediately goes to, I need to say I'm sorry for blank. That is not what their version of apology to them means. Just right off the bat. Again, we're learning Russian. This is a whole new language. So they don't want you to say, I'm sorry for that time I yelled at you before you got out of the car at school because I'd had no sleep and I just shouldn't have done that. They don't want that. That's not the one. They want you to basically do this. They want you to apologize for the childhood experiences that, although there was no abuse and there's no like outward visible signs of abuse, they're often asking for parents to acknowledge their emotional needs. Like, they're not asking you to say, I'm sorry I did this. They want you to say that you did not meet their emotional needs. And that here's some examples. So if they had a childhood that as an adult, they say they always felt unseen and unheard, you need to acknowledge. If they felt like, you know, high expectations, if you expected them to make A's and B's, then they felt like that was pressure and that you then did not have unconditional love. You had conditional love and you only loved them if they made A's and B's. That's how they interpreted that. So if they felt invalidated or misunderstood, it doesn't matter if it was done unintentionally. If you look at it like this, so you just take your intent. Your intent as a mom, I have no doubt that your intent was never to harm your children emotionally, nor was mine. But our intent versus the impact It differs, apparently. So what I mean is, if our intent was to not make them feel bad about making an A's and B's, we just wanted them to do their very best so that they could get a scholarship and get into college. All right, that was our intent. But that impacted them in a way that they felt like if they did not do that, then that your love was conditional. So what they want us to do is they don't, if you're a mom that doesn't see a reason for an apology and you're thinking, what the heck am I apologizing for? I was a good mom. They say, now I say they, because this is not me. This is the movement of no contact. It's very clear on this that if you're a mom who believes that you were caring and you didn't abuse your children and that you gave them a loving environment, they want you to explore things like you didn't mean to, but no matter what your intent was, it still, as an adult, has manifested in an emotional wound from their childhood trauma. So if your adult child feels like that they were dismissed or misunderstood or they could have perceived all of that as rejection and criticism. So just because it sounds like that they want you to say that you emotionally abused them or whatever, they want you to recognize that these wounds that cause trauma maybe weren't intentional, but that doesn't matter. You are asked to validate their feelings, that they need to feel like that you're not saying that didn't happen, which leads me to the next part. So these are things you don't want to do, okay? You don't want to get defensive when you apologize, right? So you want to acknowledge that. I understand it is very challenging to apologize when you don't fully understand or recognize the harm that you did to your child. Like, it's, in my mind, it's almost impossible, but we're going to go with this, what they're telling us. So just basically they say over and over that you listen without interruption. You do not get defensive. And you frame your apology in things like this. You say, I didn't realize you felt that way, and I'm sorry for any pain I caused you without intending to, which I can get behind that. Like, all that's true. I definitely can. So they also suggest that you ask open-ended questions about specific events or feelings that they want acknowledgement for. So like this is an opportunity that you can kind of understand and hear where they're coming from. So you just have to be very careful with this. And here is why. Remember, this podcast is about don't do what Gia did. I'm sharing with you the mistakes I made along the way. Now, I will say that the only reason I didn't mess this up real bad was because I didn't know what, I was shocked. And for one of the very few times, I think I was speechless in my whole entire life. So here is an example. I've shared with you that my daughter has given me her reason for why. She's given me like two or three different reasons for why. And the last reason why she shared with me is, you know, you have to remember that our children are adults now, but they saw the world through a child's eyes when they were younger, obviously. And sometimes children can see or hear things, and they think their reality is something that might not have been exactly what they heard or saw, but they were kids. So like how they interpreted that is their kid mind, all right? So here's an example. My daughter said to me that I was always jealous of her dad and that I didn't like it that he had so many friends. And that she remembered every time we as a family went to any kind of function, like if we went to, you know, a restaurant to eat or family events, like my ex-husband is from South Louisiana, so if it was a crawfish bowl, anything like that. Her take on that was that at the end of that event, that I always was mad and yelled at her dad because he was with his friends and I didn't like that he had friends. Okay. All right. Now here's the thing. That is part of that is very much the truth because I have absolutely nothing to hide on this podcast and I tell it like it is. So I was married to a man for 31 years that never laid a hand on me, but was and is an alcoholic. Now he was, I say it every time, he's a good guy. He's a great guy. He's a good dad. He just liked whiskey more than he liked me. So it didn't have anything to do with like there was no abuse, anything like that. So what my daughter actually heard and saw was me every time we went anywhere. I'm the idiot who felt like this time will be different. And so I didn't take my car. And so every time after he was drinking and he would get the keys to drive us home, then I would say, no, you're not. And then it is like, I cannot tell you how many times we had this argument. Now, here is what I am very, very ashamed of and should and have apologized for. I am someone who, when I get mad, I raise my voice, and I'm ashamed of that. I don't anymore, but I did, and she definitely heard me yell at her dad, and she heard it a lot. And so how I would or could apologize for what she was part of her childhood is, how I could do that is I could validate her experience, which was, she felt like I yelled at her dad and we fought and all that. And that's true. But I cannot go into with her that that's not what we were fighting over. I can't say to her, okay, I apologize, but, and then say, here's what really happened. If you do that, I can tell you right now, you are, like that big Family Feud, red X, that loud noise that's happening right now. So, they want you to apologize, take accountability with no discussion at all about this is why that happened. Okay? So that might take a little bit of self-control. Now, the only reason I didn't do all that was because I was dumbfounded that that is what she thought those arguments were about. Because, look, I'm not going to say that my husband didn't have a lot of friends, but my ex-husband is, you know, when there's couples, there's always like the person that's working the room, and there's usually the one that's sitting there and just ready to go. I'm the work in the room, and he's the one who's just like, okay, I'm going to sit up here and drink till you're done, and then we're going to go home. And he has friends, absolutely, but our friends were like couple friends, you know, so I don't know where that came from, but I did not attempt to explain that because I was speechless that that's what she thought her entire life. But I'm so glad I did not try to explain to her that the whole thing was that I was trying to keep you alive and I couldn't let your dad drive you like that. So that would have been seen as me just throwing him under the bus. And he darn sure wouldn't have been the one to be like, oh, here's what happened. He's not going to say that. So like, nothing. You have to take accountability and do not elaborate. That's what they want. All right. So the power of validation is huge. And let's talk about that, because now you will have to make this decision. You will hear the word validate. I want you to validate my feelings and validate this happened. You know, then you have to decide, am I going to validate something that I know really didn't happen? Because trust me, there's a lot of that in my situation. So what I encourage you to do is by validating, you just simply acknowledge that they had pain and that they deeply need a healing experience from that pain. And so if you start trying to get into the, yeah, but this, don't do it. It's a bad path to take. So I encourage you to like listen, don't be defensive, and then apologize in a way that you are reflective with that apology. And also like ask open-ended questions like I did. Like I would have never in a million years known that she thought that's what went down. But she does, and she did. And so ask those open-ended questions. That honestly very much could be your pathway to healing. All right, so that apology is something that they are very clear when you do it. You're not doing that with the expectations that if you say this, then they will allow you to have contact with them again, because that will be seen as not being authentic. So you just have to decide before you go into this, like, are you cool with doing this? Because if you're not, you're going to make it worse if you get in there and start trying to debate whether or not it did or didn't happen. And so I will tell you that I am so glad that I did what I did with this. Like, in the early years, I did it all wrong. But what I did do was beg her to accept that I'm sorry, that I was not the mom that she needed at that time. And I just said all the wrong things, but I do know that there was no doubt that she knew that I would have done anything for her to agree to communication again. So had I not done that, I would have spent the rest of my life wondering, if I'd done it, would it have made a difference? Turns out, for me personally, it made absolutely no difference. Anything I did made no difference, and I know that. But I'm so glad that I did all the things that my research told me that she needed me to do. Because then, you know, we just get into the shame on me or shame on you, or I'm just going to go live my life and love you from afar, which is how I finally found peace and just acceptance, you know? So that is, in a nutshell, the apology thing they want from you. That is number one of three items that universally adult children need from you. And the challenge is, if you are low contact, you very well will have the opportunity to do this. Now, when you are no contact, here is where we get into a gray area, all right? Because you know what I'm going to say, and this is, needs to be discussed. All right, you cannot contact them directly without that being seen as a direct arrow of disrespect to their boundaries, because you are aware they have you blocked and they want no contact. So then if you attempt communication, direct communication, then you've just started off on the wrong foot. Okay, Gia, well, how do I do this? If they want an apology from me, then how do I do it without disrespecting their boundaries? All right, so my suggestions are this, and this is not like a fact. This is my suggestion, and this is just some examples that over the years I wrote down. So if you have a calm and respectful online presence, the opposite of mine, because I'm on TikTok talking about this every day because I can do that. So many cannot. If there's a hint, even a little bit of a hope that reconciliation is possible, do not do what I'm doing. I only do that because I'm very clear about my hope and my chances of reconciliation. And I don't say that in a martyr way. I say that because I am the one that came to a point that I have to protect myself at all costs from, quite honestly, these shenanigans. However, my daughter is very much not the same as your adult child. So that's for me. So I suggest that you are just very respectful online. You don't ever talk about things. Like, you just reflect that you don't want to be confrontational. You can definitely reflect self-awareness and accountability, but don't target them directly, okay? And then, so that's what you can do online. All right, so if you ever have an opportunity to write like a snail mail letter, all right, you can journal that, you can write in a letter, and then you will have to decide, is it the time that you feel like you can mail that letter and do so with a clear conscience of, I don't want to disrespect her boundaries, so I'm not going to try to text her or inbox her on social media. So I'm going to mail this. And then that's up to her if she opens it. You very possibly won't know if she opened it. Some people report often that the letter is marked return to sender and they simply send it back. I hope that's not the case, but just know going into this, that's always a possibility. You just have to let go of the control part of the outcome, all right? So one of the things that I myself struggle with in my own recovery is I have huge control issues. Now, that doesn't mean that I have control issues like
I want to make sure that the forks and the spoons are all certain inches apart. That's not what that means. It means my control issues are there have been things in my history that I had no control over. And I felt like if I had just had control over that, this event would not have happened. I mention often my daughter's accident. I was driving the car. The accident was not my fault, but I did have control on whether or not I put her in a car seat and drove to Kmart that. So a lot of my control issues come from I try to control things as if I could affect the outcome, which is nonsense. I know that. But that's just me. That's what I struggle with every day. So letting go of the control aspect of if I do this, what do I get in return? What will the outcome be? Don't do that. You got to let that go, okay? Because ultimately, like, you can't control if your child opens that letter. You can't control if your daughter reads that letter. And you can't control if they even feel like that your validation or apology was sincere. So I encourage you, even if you write the letter and don't send it, like, just do that for your own self. Because, let me tell you what the biggest surprise of all this was for me. I started doing all these things because I thought if I do this, she will love me again. She'll want me in her life again if I do all this stuff. And nobody was more surprised than myself that what actually happened was that after doing all of this and writing down my thoughts and how I would have handled things differently, and then when we get into the doing the work, which is another request, what I learned about myself was I became stronger and stronger and learned through that self-reflection that I had a lot of stuff to work on. And then, like magic, I didn't want to work on that stuff for her. I wanted to work on that stuff for me. And so I did. And so I think I will, the rest of my life, be doing the work for my own recovery process. The difference is I can't tell you when that changed and when all the stuff I was doing because I felt like if I did it, I would meet her expectations as a mom. But when those tables turned, that is when I started saying, what the heck am I doing? Like, I won't ever, ever meet or qualify for her expectations of what she feels I should have been and need to be. And so somehow all that turned into me being really okay with who I am. Now, that doesn't at all dismiss the fact that I should take accountability and validate a lot of stuff that my children saw, heard, and witnessed in their childhood. But I learned somehow in this whole journey that none of it mattered if she accepted it. What mattered is I'm going to work on me. And working on me turned out to be the greatest thing I've ever done for me. So, so that's our episode about apologizing. And I hope I explained it in a way that you now can glean from this what is helpful in your story and take what you need and leave the rest kind of thing. I just wanted to tell you, first of all, I wanted to share, if you have not joined our private Facebook group, please do so just as quick as you can, because that's a Facebook group and that's going to be our main method of me communicating with you any upcoming live events or extra bonus podcast episodes. This is how this is structured. I've not actually explained this or gone into detail, but how this is structured is you will have series of podcast episodes. Like, this one is Decoding Estrangement. And so at the end of this series, there will then be an optional webinar/virtual event. And that is something that at this point, it's 1 hour long. It may end up being longer. And it's an event that's done virtually. And then if you are not available at the time that we do it live, you will be emailed the recorded version of that event. Now, I'm not someone who believes in having 100 people on a Zoom call, because I'm all about connections and getting to know each and every one of you. So this webinar slash virtual event, it will have a limited amount of people that can register for this. Now, that doesn't mean after we meet that amount that we won't just pick a date and do a second class. That's not what that means. But for right now, here are the details. The Decoding Estrangement live webinar, it will be on Wednesday, November the 20th. And it will be at a time that's 5:30 Mountain Time. I don't know how that turns into what time you're in, but I'm in Colorado, so that's what time. So this is, let me tell you what we will be doing on this webinar. So all of the information that I have shared with you, that came from websites, life coaches, or bloggers who have this information for adult children to find and then implement with whomever their third party is. And let me be completely upfront and honest. This is tough, hard stuff to see. Because what we will look at on their website, you will see the steps that adult children are given, the script they are given. And when I found this stuff, it took my breath away because it was like almost exact verbiage of contact, the last bit of contact that I had with my daughter, the things she said. And it was like, oh my gosh, like this is exactly what she's involved with. This is what her choice is to go no contact. So we also will look at something. It's hard to know this, but one of the sites for this, they have an actual book that I bought, and I, you know, went through the course and I bought it, and it tells our children, like, if you start feeling guilty about this, just remember blank. And like, it just walks them through step by step all the parts and thoughts that could have turned this whole story around. But it didn't, because they are being inundated and coached by the people that I will show you in this webinar. So that webinar is open for 20 people. Registration will open this Friday. What's the date of this Friday? So today is November the 5th. Let me look real quick. I'm sorry, y'all, should have that calendar pulled up. Okay, the 8th, November 8th, registration will open. And then the webinar is November 20th, and that's at 5:30. So this is there. I mentioned in episode one, these podcasts are completely free to you. If you decide to participate in that webinar, that is a paid webinar slash workshop, and that is open to 20 people. And you will receive an email with the pricing, the information, and all of the stuff you will need to know to register. Let me say again, that is completely optional to you if you want to dive in and go. But yeah, so that's coming up. So two things. Go join the Facebook group and decide if you want to be a part of the webinar workshop on November 20th. And if you do, watch your email on Friday, November 8th. For the link to register. Just keep in mind that once we hit 20, it will close. And then if there's interest in another class, we certainly will find another date that will work. The thing is, 20 people, that's on the high end. Like, I want to get to know you, and I want to then, if you feel comfortable and you want to book one-on-one time with me, that way I want to know your story, and I want to know how you're doing and how I can help you in any way with this. If you know of anyone that could benefit from this podcast, please feel free to share it. Just don't share a link in the Facebook groups, because those admins work very hard in there for free and make them receive like demerits from Facebook. That's a whole mess. So yeah. All right, well, I'm sorry that this is a two-part, but I want to make sure we go into each one of these three items and just really dissect it, so that if you choose to implement these for you and your adult child, that you do so in a way that you have all the info you need for it to be successful. Well, y'all have a great night. I will virtually see you soon. Don't forget, love them forever and love them from afar. This is Gia, and I'll see you the next episode. Good night.